Eli Weber on Tuesday morning, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, Sefer Mitzvot, mitzvah number 11.
You learned for 5 hours, you did all the Gemaras in case of Mevarchim, and your conclusion was the wrong conclusion. Your conclusion was that the bracha on an apple is Bari Minei Mizonos. Did you get a mitzvah of Talmud Torah or not?
Yes.
One second. If it's functional, you didn't.
You're not supposed to come to your own conclusions. The conclusions are there.
No, they're not. Who told you that?
Huh?
No, they're not.
Precedent, history.
Okay, forget halacha. You learn a Tosfos, and I tell you definitively what you think Tosfos said, he never said. You got it wrong. You learned the Gemara. You completely misunderstood.
I saw the mitzvah.
By the way, an experience we've all had. Let's be honest about it. An experience we've all had. You spend an hour learning. You get up. You have no idea.
We use art scroll.
You went to a shir. I've seen it happen here. I went to a shir.
You walk out.
Okay.
Totally missed the point.
Either, let's say it was a pretty mediocre shir, but you know you didn't get anything. You got a mitzvah. So what's the other side? The good news is, if it's not functional...
It's not only functional. It's making the effort of learning God's word.
It's a mitzvah to learn.
Sharpen it a little bit. I understand it's a mitzvah. I gave that away. It's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah.
The process.
The process does what?
Well, that's the mitzvah.
Get you close to God.
Whatever
relationship, develop a relationship.
It's what we call being Osek Batorah.
Right, that's the word.
Right? It's not necessarily learning. If you had to put Rav Zevin has an article on this, and he said he contrasts isuk b'Torah, the involvement in Torah, versus limud haTorah, which is amassing knowledge. Okay, both of those two things exist. And by the way, thank God for us that they do. Because think of it this way: if you're learning kudshim b'zman hazeh, you're learning taros. It's not halacha l'maisa. Right? You learn, what's a good example? You learn the rules of, I learn the rules of Duchen. Happens to be, I have never and will never Duchen, much to my frustration. I would very much like to do it. But we are not, our religion does not have the value of equality, and therefore I'm never going to get to be a Kohen.
You can make an analogy as a lawyer. You may lose the case, but you did all the work, you prepared and set up.
You still get paid.
There are two different models. One is you get paid by the hour, the other is you get a cut. If you get a cut, you got zero. Okay?
Are you a firstborn?
Am I what?
Are you a firstborn?
I am not a firstborn. I'm not even close. There's no theory under which.
I learned the whole office of Shalom Bias.
Here we go. No. Says the Rambam in Mitzvah Yud Aleph in the Sefer HaMitzvot. V'hamitzvah Yud Aleph hi shetzivanu lilmod chachmat haTorah ulilamda. That's a very loaded line. Lilmod chachmat haTorah means to learn the wisdom of the Torah, ulelamda, and to teach it. So the question is, first of all, the Rambam sounds like it's functional, right? You need to learn so that you'll know. Where does the teaching it come from? Where no one here suggested that part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is teaching Torah. When I asked, you came late. When I asked, I don't mean to embarrass you in front of the rest of the class.
That was Reuven Grossman.
From now on, you're going to need to get a note from the office. Okay? Now, when I asked, we had two possibilities. Functional, you need to build up your knowledge base, or isuk b'Torah, involvement with God, having relation with God. Where did the teaching come from? So just say very clearly, one is, we could have missed it. It really could be that teaching Torah, v'shinat l'vanecha, right? Or, I happen to like to think that in the Rambam, ulalamda is just how you know that you know it. If you learned it well enough to pass it over to somebody else, right? If you could tell over the Dvar Torah, if you leave shul on Shabbos, when you get home, you could speak over the rabbi's speech at the table, then you know you've got a kiyum of Talmud Torah because you internalized it somehow. Okay? Or it could really be that there's a separate mitzvah to teach. Okay? V'zeo shenikra Talmud Torah v'hu amaro v'shinantam levanach. Interesting that the Rambam uses the pasuk of v'shinantam levanach to teach the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. V'shinantam levanach is obviously the mitzvah of teaching it to your son. Okay? Which, by the way, if you use that as a pasuk, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah becomes much more of a mesorah related issue. Right? Like, what's your obligation? Your obligation is to learn enough Torah so that you could pass it along to your children, so that they could pass it along to their children. It turns the mitzvah into something different. Second line, V'lashon Sifrei, Levanecha Elu Talmidecha, V'cheinat HaMotzei B'chol Makom She'atalmidim Kriim Banim. All the time, students are called children, Shenemar V'yetzu B'nei HaNeviim. It doesn't mean the sons of the Neviim, it means the students of the Neviim. V'sham Ne'emah V'shinantam Shihu Mechudadim B'picha. There's another limud. V'shinantam doesn't come from the word l'shanein, to repeat. It comes from the word sharp. Shinun is to sharpen. So you sharpen something so that when somebody asks it to you, you can answer right away. Okay? There's some terrible story I heard when I was a kid, but it speaks to this. You know, like, the rich guy in the community comes to the Beis Medrash and he says to the Rosh Yeshiva, I would like to, you know, have the best Talmud in your yeshiva, marry my daughter. You know, he supports the yeshiva, he's wildly successful, everybody wants to be his son-in-law. So he takes him over to the best guy and he asks him, you know, what bracha do you make on rice? And he says, well, there's a bunch of different ideas behind it. The guy doesn't know anything. The guy asks him a very, very involved thing, all the different possibilities. And so the rich guy says to the yeshiva, this guy doesn't know anything. And then he goes to the worst guy in the yeshiva. And he says, you know, what bracha do you make? And the guy says, Ashrei Yishrei Ve'secha Od Yalu Chasala. And he says, this is the guy I want to marry my daughter. He knows, he could say over right away with confidence. Okay. The point being, here, the Rambam is saying that part of the mitzvah is knowledge based. When somebody asks you a question, the ability to answer speaks to the fact that you've amassed the knowledge and that it's clear in your mind. Okay, and he says it's repeated over a bunch of times. Fine. Because we'll run out of time. Let's go to the Sefer HaChinuch. The first issue we want to deal with is, what is the purpose behind the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? Okay, again, knowledge-based or just relating to God. It says the Sefer HaChinuch, Mitzvat Aseh Lilmod Chochmat HaTorah Ulalamda. Okay, he copied that from the Rambam. Kilomar. What's the purpose? He says, Keitzad Na'aseh HaMitzvot V'nishmor Mima Shimena'anu HaKel Mimenu. Very functional. Says the Sefer HaChinuch, what's the purpose of Talmud Torah? Keitzad Na'aseh HaMitzvot. We need to know. How do I take Dalad Minim? How much matzah do I eat? How am I shomer Shabbos? V'nishmor mimashim enanu al kel mimenu. I need to know what treif is. I need to know how not to eat basar b'chalav. The purpose behind Talmud Torah is to be an observant Jew. Of course, but now the second part shows up. V'ladat gam kein mishpitei haTorah al kivun ha'emet. Here, I don't think it's functional. You could read it in two different ways. I think the correct way to read this line is to know the secrets of Torah in their true state. It means to gain an insight into God, to know how God wants us to think and how God wants us to behave. So I think he's trying to balance it, and then he continues trying to balance it. He says, "Shorash mitzvah zo yadua." The explanation, the rationale for the mitzvah is clear. Ki bilimud, because via learning, yeida ha'adam darkei Hashem yitbarak. That's interesting. He doesn't say you'll get smart, because by learning Torah you will know the ways of God. By learning Sefer Bereishis, by learning all of Sefer Shmos, pretty much up until this week's parsha, what we get? Nothing. And we didn't get any halachos. Okay, HaKadosh is Elohim. We're into some halachos now. Sefer Bereishis, what we get?
History.
We got a sense for who God is. Yeah. We got a sense for how God treats humanity, what God wants of us, the relationship God had with the Avos. That's not halachic, but says the Sefer HaChinuch, part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is to develop a relationship with God and to get insights into, sorry for saying it this way, God's personality. It's as clear as that. So he says, one is, Ki b'limud yedah adam darkei Hashem yitbarach, he'll know the ways of God. Vizulato lo yeda velo yavin v'nechshav kabehima. A person who doesn't know God is missing a fundamental layer of what the Torah wants us to know. He knows all the rules of the Netilas Yadayim. He knows when to say Asher Yatzar. He knows when to say Bracha Achrona. But he doesn't know. That's all he knows. He doesn't know God. And knowing God is a significant part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Now, va'over al zeh, end of the third line in number two. V'lo li made et b'no Torah ad she'idah likrot sefer Torah v'yavin perush ha'ktuvim kipshatam. This is fascinating. Here you have the Sefer HaChinuch lay out the minimum that he thinks a father is obligated to teach his son. And listen to this. How do you know you finished? You didn't teach your son, or maybe it's your daughter also, although I don't think so here, b'no Torah, ad sheyeda likrot b'sefer Torah, till he knows how to read in the Sefer Torah. I think it means to read Hebrew. V'yavin perush haktuvim kipshatam, then bitel asei zeh. If you have a son who doesn't know how to read Tanakh, and more or less figure out what the psukim mean without help, you haven't given him a good enough education. It's interesting. It's very rare that you find this kind of basic definition of the obligation we owe to our children. But here it is. The obligation you owe to your child is that your child can read psukim and more or less kind of figure it out.
So what happens when you grow up in Israel and you know, you're secular, you grow up in Israel, you know the language, but you don't know anything else?
Okay. Well, does this basically teach you to read on the simplest level?
Well, but he has V'yavin Perush HaKtuvim Kipshatam. So he's like, you don't have to figure out Medrashim. You just have to figure out, when it says that God came to Moshe in a pillar of cloud, you have to know that it means he came to him in a pillar of cloud, not some fancy Medrash. V'chein, call me, so that's one thing. Then second, V'chein, call me sheyesh sipek biyado lilmod b'shum tzad. Anybody who has the opportunity to learn, hu bichlal asei zeh. When do you have to learn? He doesn't say. If you have the opportunity to learn, then you are part of this mitzvah. Va'onsho gadol ma'od, if he doesn't do it, im lo yikaymenu, ki ha-mitzvah hazot hi aim lekulan. This is where the phrase started. Mother of all whatever. That's what he just said. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah is the mother of all mitzvahs. Aim lekulam. So he says there's two things going on. If you have an opportunity to learn, then you have the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Again, we'll have to talk about where work comes into play here.
Commercial for the kolel bris.
If you have an opportunity to learn, he doesn't say if you don't, you're mevatel mitzvah sase, although I think that's implied, but he says if you have an opportunity to learn, then you're looking at a mitzvah opportunity. And if you don't, what else do you have? In a way, he's saying, if you have opportunity to learn Torah and you don't learn Torah, what's all the other stuff worth? Right? It's like, you know, lahavdil, and I'm sure I'll get to say this in the wrong way, you know, like your wife says, oh, it's nice that you came back from your trip and I'm leaving tonight, you know, and you brought me a gift. But spending time with me is the way to show that you care. It's not just a gift. If I had to translate that, I would say that the chinuch is saying God wants you to spend time with him. That's how you show that you care about the relationship. Netilas yadayim, okay, it's nice that you do netilas yadayim. I'm not knocking netilas yadayim. It's nice that you buy your wife a gift. But that's not what your relationship is based on. And he says your relationship is based on top of the Torah.
I'll spend a lot of time with you.
Can you subcontract this obligation to teach your children to a teacher if you're not capable?
So the answer is yes. Vis-a-vis your children, you have to ensure that they reach a certain level of education. So you could do that directly, or you could do it the way all of us do it, by subcontracting it out.
You're still the mitzvah.
But I don't think you can't subcontract out your own obligation. I mean, isuk b'Torah, to take our example, you can't pay somebody to go on a walk with your wife. It just doesn't work. Huh?
Why not?
Say a different way. You could pay somebody to go on a walk with your wife, but if your goal is to strengthen and deepen the bond between you and your wife, it doesn't work if you get Rabbi Riskin to do it.
You're getting a walking partner. I can see that.
Okay, fine. Now, just interesting. How many brachos do we make on the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? Well, so generally speaking, how many brachos do we make on a mitzvah?
One.
Sometimes there's a shechianu, there's some fancy stuff out there, but pretty much it ought to be 1-to-1. Thank you very much. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Shehakol Nieh Bidvarav.
Amen.
You really can do it. And you can hold
it. Okay. Generally speaking, mitzvahs go on a 1-to-1 ratio. We'll see with respect to tefillin, that's not always true. We'll get there soon. But How many mitzvahs how many brachos?
Two.
Birchas HaTorah in the morning.
Two or three, depending on how you count. Okay? And we need to sort that out. Two or three. By the way, how many brachos are min HaTorah?
Zero.
Anybody know?
Zero.
Wrong.
Well,
one for sure. Benching.
No, but the...
Benching.
No,
but you don't think of it as a bracha.
No, but the bracha is not...
Okay. Benching, v'yachalta v'savata v'rachta, is one. And the only other possible one is birchas HaTorah. It's a machlokes. It's possible that kishem Hashem HaKroi is supposed to call out God's name. That's a bracha. But look at how the Rambam formulates. It's very interesting in number three. The Rambam says... Hamashkim likro batorah, a person who gets up in the morning to learn Torah. Kodem sheyikra kriyat shma, before he reads shma, bein kara batorah shebichtav, bein kara batorah shebaalpeh, whether he's reading it from a Torah or by heart. Notel yadav tchila, he has to wash his hands, umivarech shalosh brachot. This is very interesting. How does the Rambam present, a little diuk here, but we could do it. How does the Rambam present the obligation to make Birchas HaTorah? Does he present it as absolute? Come on, look at everybody. Somebody has to get this. Does he present it as absolute? No. No, he doesn't. He says, Hamashkim, if you get up and you want to learn Torah, before you do it, here's what you have to do. It does not sound like an unconditional thing.
Right.
It sounds very, very much like if you get up and you want to eat an apple,
make a bracha.
Before you eat the apple, you have to make a bracha. There's no way around the fact that here, Birchas HaTorah in the Rambam sounds very much like what we would call a matir. It allows me, right? Birchas Hanenin are what we call a matir. The way I have permission to benefit from God's world is by first thanking God or blessing God. Here the Rambam makes Birchas HaTorah sound like I have to thank or bless God before I can learn Torah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now.
If you learn Torah, you have to make a bracha.
If what?
If you learn Torah.
Yeah.
Well, the Gemara has that whole story that the temple's destroyed because they
learned. Yeah, also Birchu Batorah Tchila, but I don't think that the understanding there is that they just technically... I think it's a deeper understanding that they didn't appreciate. And
right.
Okay, I don't know the answer to your question. Certainly, Mr. Weiser, they were mevatel the mitzvah. They lost the opportunity to say the brachos.
Because you get a schar.
Do I? Yeah, I got to think you get schar.
He might just say, is he become the mitzvah?
Yes, because the bracha is not...
The
bracha is a side point. Meaning, let's say you took a lulav and esrog, but you didn't make a bracha. Did you get the mitzvah?
Yes.
Of course you got the mitzvah. You just lost out on a bracha. Here it's a little different because here you need a matir. It's like if you eat an apple without making a bracha, so the Gemara says it's ki'ilu ma'al. It's like you ate from hektish because it belonged to somebody else. So theoretically you did something you shouldn't do. But I got to think, if you spent 8 hours learning and it turns out you forgot to make Birchas HaTorah, so it's as if you didn't learn? I hope not.
No,
I hope not.
When you do an act without a bracha, it's not ma'akev. You always get the benefit.
Right, but here, again, the Rambam sets up differently. If you eat an apple without making a bracha, if you eat bread without washing, you did something wrong. It wasn't just like you lost out on a bracha.
It's like berachas
ha'ayin, because... Right, I think that's right. The way the Rambam presents it, it sounds that way. Now, back inside. Second line. Says the Rambam, these are the brachas. Now listen to this. They're very similar to ours, but not the same. First, Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvosav v'tzivanu al divrei Torah. What's interesting about that is that we say not al divrei Torah, but we say la'asok b'divrei Torah. And then one of the most beautiful brachos ever, v'ha'arevna Hashem Elokeinu es divrei Torah scha, make your Torah sweet b'finu u'b'pifiyot amcha beit Yisrael. By the way, I think it's the only bracha I can think of where we actually include our children in it. Right? Make Torah sweet, not just for us, but for our children as well. And all of us should be what? Yodei Shemecha v'oskei Torah Techa. We say v'lomdei Torah Techa. The Rambam transposed Isuk Batorah and Limud HaTorah from one bracha to the next, but he has them both. This fits in very nicely with what we said at the beginning. That what? There are two parts to Talmud Torah. One is the involvement in Torah. That's called La'asok B'divrei Torah. And one is the amassing of knowledge. And that's called Limud HaTorah. And so there are two brachos, one for each one. And then what's the last one? That sounds like what we would call a bracha on the Cheftza Shel Torah. That's like the apple is in front of you. God gave us this thing called Torah, so we thank Him for it. Okay, so very quickly, if we have three brachos, it fits in very nicely with what we've been discussing till now. One is the involvement in Torah. Two is the functional element of Torah, that to amass knowledge, that's another part of Talmud Torah. And three is just the bracha on Torah itself, the thanks we have for God for having given us the Torah. Now, let's go back to the crazy example I gave at the beginning, which isn't so crazy. What if your learning is wrong? Or what if you spend all your time learning the shitos that we don't paskin like? So it sounds crazy, but somebody asked Rav Moshe Feinstein this question once. It's a great tshuva. Look at number four. And it has a lot to do with Rav Moshe's theory of halacha and how we relate to... I can't. It's the same thing. Here he says in number four, Aval ikah od inyan gadol she'af bitzilat hashnei deyot v'lifamim od yoter heim divrei Torah mamish. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, the shita we don't paskin like is as much a chevtza of Torah as the shita we do paskin like. It happens to be that we have to paskin one way. But both sides represent authentic Talmud Torah, which is good news for us, because it sounds like even if you're on the wrong track, and even if you're getting it wrong, so long as you're working hard at it, it may be authentic Talmud Torah. Now, last word in the third line. I'm skipping a little bit. Umitam zeh, pashut. Listen to this. Wait. Listen to this case. Pashut. Al misha kam baboker. Somebody gets up in the morning. V'yodeya shebehazman she'ad hatfila yilmod rak divrei beis shamai ulevaer divrehem. He has a chavrusa in the morning just in beis shamai. Of course, we paskin like beis hillel. So that means he's always learning what we don't, what's not the halacha. He says, so what? Tzarich levarech birkat haTorah. Mishum shehem gam kein divrei Torah mamish v'toras emes. Even the shita we don't paskin like is toras emes. It's a chevra.
Would you say that about the Sadukim?
No, I would assume not.
Why not? They're learning Torah and they interpret it the way they interpret. We don't paskin like them. According to this, you have to say elu ve'elu.
No.
You just don't paskin like them.
No, because it's not the case that every shita is included in elu ve'elu. That's what's dangerous about this idea. Rav Moshe Feinstein doesn't think that it's an authentic position in halacha to drive a car on Shabbos. He doesn't think that that position has any support. If it has no support, it's not elu ve'elu. Beis Shammai represent an authentic possible halacha that we don't paskin like. But the person who says, you know, that you can light a fire on Shabbos, that's not an authentic halachic position. That was never potentially the halacha, and therefore it doesn't constitute a chavtza of Torah, and it's not part of Eilu ve'Eilu. Okay? But he does think, he says, even if you go, Va'af bigdolim dibizmanenu, third line from the bottom, Shayach ze, shebichazaka delomdim lishma. We assume they are authentically trying to get to the real divine will. And if they're authentically trying to get to the real Ritzon Hashem, it constitutes a chavtza of Torah, even if it's wrong.
Like electricity.
Yeah.
Like if we're discussing that.
Right. Yeah. So I'm still, when I was a kid, there were still people who turned on lights and turned them off on Yontif.
Yeah.
Okay? So by the way, nowadays, that's not an authentic halachic position.
Right.
Meaning you can read an article about it,
right,
but someone who gets up and tries to prove, you know, it's done with.
Right.
Just like if you try to get up in shul and argue against Shabbos clocks. It's finished. Shabbos clocks are acceptable. They're accepted. That is the halacha. Quick.
Haredim don't accept Shabbat elevators.
Okay, that's
because,
not just Haredim. That's an authentic machlokes.
Yeah. So would you say elu ve'elu?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, we're going to run out of time. There's a fascinating, we'll just see, there's a How much time do you have to learn? We'll do this quickly. There's a source for... We won't have a chance to read it inside. The Gemara has two shitos. One is, Kara Pasuk Echad Shachris, Kara Pasuk Echad Arvis, one Pasuk in the morning, one Pasuk at night. Kiyem, your Yotze, Lo Yamush Sefer HaTorah Zemi Picha, as if you learned all day long. Then the Gemara, there's a machlokus in the Gemara, fascinating. One shita is, Va'asur La'omro La'ameh Ha'aretz, don't tell anybody that that's the halacha. And the other shita is, Mitzvah La'omro La'ameh Ha'aretz, no, you should tell people. Right, that's a major sort of educational disagreement about whether you should let people know how accessible mitzvahs are or try to max out even at the expense of losing people. The other shita is, no, you have to learn all the time. The best Vagisu Yom Valayla. That's the machlokas in the Gemara. The best formulation of this I've ever heard is Rav Asher Weiss tells the story often. I think it was the Chazon Ish. When he came to Israel, people didn't know who he was. He wasn't really famous in Europe. He was a huge, huge Talmud Chacham, but people didn't know. He used to take walks sometimes. So this guy met him, and he used to walk with him. And so he asked him, it's funnier in Yiddish, but it doesn't. He said, do you learn? So the Chazon Ish said, when I have time. And he said, that's the best formulation of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. You have to learn when you have time. Now, each of us have different amounts of time based on jobs and based on family pressures and based on age and all these things. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah is to learn Torah when you have time to learn Torah. Now, of course, how you define that to a certain extent goes to what your relationship with God is and how seriously you take it. But that's what he said. Now, yeah, we'll do one more. Fantastic Ar Sameach. This is the first Ar Sameach of Meir Simcha Midvinsk, number 7. It's the first one in the Rambam. We normally think that mitzvahs can be quantified. And by quantified, I mean the amount of matzah I have to eat is the same amount of matzah that you have to eat. And what constitutes a kosher lulav for me is what constitutes a kosher lulav for everybody else in this room. Rav Meir Simcha thinks that that is not true with respect to the definition of Talmud Torah. And it's fascinating to read inside. I want to tell you in advance, Rav Meir Simcha, the Ar Sameach, was a well-known Orthodox Jew. So don't be surprised by what he says. He is pretty religious.
When you come to a time factor, why isn't it that people have to prepare?
I'm
like
going
to
go late. This is off your time now.
People have to prepare like every other mitzvah. So why would someone say, I'm going to become a lawyer and work 24/7 and go to law school and never have time? I know I won't have time for it, so what? As well as preparing.
Allow me to read. V'nimtza, he says, mitzvahs Talmud Torah, asher bevadai im yivakesha adam terafu mazon. A person who needs to get food for his family, a person who has to work. That's not called bitul Torah. To go to work is not called bitul Torah. The Torah says va'asavta diganecha. That's one thing. Okay. Second thing. V'chein lemashal adam chalush hamazeg. Let's assume it means a person who's not very bright. V'chein kol echad lefi ha'achrechiyut shelefi hergelo. Or it's his personality. V'chein lefi tar nafsho shel adam, or the purity of his soul. Ki ein, listen to this. Ki eino dome b'chiyuv Talmud Torah ha'ish asher nafsho margeshet b'sichla hazach v'nikshira ba'avotot ava l'Talmud Torah. You can't compare the chiyuv Talmud Torah of somebody who is tied to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, body and soul. He loves God. All he wants to do is learn Torah. To a person who's weaker and lazy. He says, if you ask me how much a person has to learn, I'll tell you, tell me about the person. Tell me their financial status. Tell me their financial pressure. Tell me how religious they are. Tell me how bright they are. Tell me how much they love learning. It can't be, says Rav Meir Simcha, that a person who doesn't enjoy learning has to learn as much as a person who does. I understand. What does that do with the whole kolal system? Yeah. Apparently, he doesn't think it's true. He says, "Lachein echa yamecho kabore lachok chiyuv Talmud Torah lachol Yisrael." Well, then, how did God command us to learn Torah if not all of us can do it? He says, "V'nasan Torah kol achad biyadal." Everybody has their own standard. "Ve'ein la'el yad ha'enoshi li'tein hamidah ha'amitit zeh." But it's very hard. it's very hard for us to be honest with ourselves and determine what exactly is my chiyuv Talmud Torah. How much do I have to learn every day? Lachain, therefore, ba'u achachamim u'pershu lanu geder merkazi ha'amitit shel Torah kriyashma b'shachris kriyashma ba'arvis kiyem v'agita bo yom v'layla. If you learn the minimum, something in the morning, something at night, you are yotzei the mitzvah. Kevan shelo made kabbalat hamitzvot va'azharata b'shachritu va'arvit kvar kiyem mitzvata. Ulam yeter mizehu bichlalei hamitzvot ashin nivdalu v'nifridu b'zeh kalish lefi arka u'mauto. Everybody has to learn something in the morning. Everybody has to learn something at night. How much more? Depends on you. Depends on your personality. You could see why the sheet is dangerous. Right? And you could see why it's more or less being suppressed. But you could also see why it's so true. Ask a person, what's my chiyuv in Talmud Torah? The answer is you have to look into your soul. You have to ask yourself, you know, how much do you like learning? How much more could you like learning if you tried harder? How much education have you had? And that's the answer. And he says, it's destructive to a community. I'm adding this, but it's destructive to a community to say everybody has to learn 8 hours a day. A, because some people have to learn 14, and because some people have to learn 10 minutes.
Is there any element of learning in davening?
There must be. There must be. You say Oz Yair in the morning, there are Psukei HaTorah.
So you've fulfilled something by davening.
Yes. You might be able to argue that that's all you need to do, but it's pretty weak. If that's where you come at, you go, well, I was Yotzei the mitzvah of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemaim and Kriya Shema and Talmud Torah, and Abbas, all I do is daven. You're not asking a lot of yourself. I think he thinks we should be aspirational about it, but I think he thinks we should be realistic. What he's really fighting against, and if I was a better historian, I would tell you, he was fighting against a culture where people felt like they were being crushed. They always felt like failures. You know, they're supposed to be learning 14 hours a day. Now, if they're only learning 6 hours a day, and every day they feel like a big fat loser. And he says, stop feeling that way. Nobody has, you know, you can't compare yourself to, you know, to whoever it is.
Something is better than nothing.
Right? I go, you know, I show up to the Beis Medrash every day, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein is sitting there learning. So it would be pretty crushing to me if I thought that I had to be who he is. The Meshech Chachma says, get a life. He's smarter than you. You'll never be that smart. You'll never have that much self-control. But look into your soul and see what you're capable of. Okay? Basically, we don't have a chance to do everything.
But if time is not a factor, why aren't
time
women
is a factor, that's why I'm rushing.
Why aren't
you telling me I have to finish?
Why aren't women also included in
this? Huh?
Why aren't women included
in this? It's not the reason why women are not included is not because it's a mitzvah say shazman gam. It's because of Gzeras HaKasov about teaching your son. It's not. And by the way, a lot of what we said impacts on the role of women. If Talmud Torah is functional, everybody agrees that women have to learn the functional parts. No question. Women have to know Hilchos Shabbos. Women have to know all these things. In theory, the discussion is, do women have to learn Taros and Kachim? If that's not Halacha L'maisa, and okay? But otherwise, for sure they do. So in terms of what it is, it's both functional and it's also your relationship with God. It's also the way we connect to God. You need both. The good news is that if you get it wrong and you wasted your time, you're still connected to God. And by the way, that's definitely the case. I'll finish with this. There's a medrash that nobody ever found, but the Rav used to quote it. And in the medrash, there's a guy who hires workers to fill up a bucket and to move the water from one place to the next place. And the workers are doing it till some guy says, wait, there's a hole in the bucket. Right? We're not getting anywhere. And so he stops doing it. But the other guy says, look, I'm getting paid. So I'm going to keep doing it anyway. So he keeps moving the bucket and the water keeps spilling out. And then the owner comes out and he asks the guy, why'd you stop? And the guy says, because I wasn't accomplishing anything because there's a hole in the bucket. And the guy says, idiot, you're cleaning my bucket. Okay, and the nimshal that Rav Soloveitchik said is very beautiful, is when you learn Torah, it does something to you. Even if most of it spills out, even if all of it spills out, the fact that it passed through you is transformative. It changes your relationship with God. It's something we should spend time thinking about. I'm done.
No.
That was Eli Weber in our first class of the morning on Sefer Mitzvahs, and we're now going to have a siyum from Rabbi Avraham Baim.
I don't think Rebbe Reskin when he was at the